I know that our Brother Gordon has a message for us this morning, and I'd ask each one of us to open our hearts and our minds to those words that he has for us. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our Brother Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Duane. Good morning to each one of you. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. A little testimony. I had a humbling experience this morning. My sermon, I had a particular song that I wanted to for us as a congregation to sing, and I told Duane and I told Kathy that no matter what Susie gives them, I want this song to be sung. And I didn't know if I wanted it, as the second song at the beginning or at the end. And I went back and forth, and I didn't really know. Then Susie walks in, and she hands that paper over to both of them, and 139 was the second song, so I guess the Lord chose for me. I do count it a very humbling experience to know that really it's God that is in control of these things. My topic this morning, as you have now guessed or surmised, the army of God, or God is marshaling his army. That was my title. That very first stanza here, God is marshaling his army for the rescue of his truth. And really, that's what it's all about, truth. That we might spread the truth into all the world. The marshal of this army, it's a person in charge of the ceremonial aspect of gathering. He's a general officer of the highest military rank. And that is Jesus Christ, who is the head of this army. Let's go to Isaiah in chapter 55, and let's go to the fourth verse. Here in Isaiah 55:4, it says this: Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people, speaking of Jesus Christ. That's why we're called the Church of Christ, because he is our leader, the head of the church. And is he who is set in these last days to marshal his army to the war that's ahead of us. It's a spiritual war, not a physical war. It's the war for truth. There's a lot of people in the world that are seeking truth. And if they truly seek it, with a sincere heart, they're going to find it. And that's what we're finding as a body of the Church of Christ. We're finding that there are those seeking the truth, and somehow, by the power of God, they find this little email or whatever it might be, and we're able to go and visit with them and find that God has impressed upon them to seek us out. And I marvel at this. I mean, a remote little town in India, they did that. A remote place in the Philippines, they did that. People endeavoring to find the truth. The call to ranks. Let's go to 1 Peter in the second chapter. Here in Peter, I can get to it here without my scriptures falling apart. The second chapter of 1 Peter in verses 9 and 10. Here Peter's speaking to those who were in Rome, different ones gathered out of Asia and the different parts of the country, particularly to the Gentile people, and he says this: But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He was speaking to a people who were converted to Christ, to the gospel at that time there in Rome. And he is seeing the realization of that spiritual dream that he had concerning what was good or bad concerning the Mosaic Law, if you remember. He had that dream. And he was unwilling to partake of those things because of the law of Moses. But the Lord helped him to understand that all things are clean in the sight of God if they come before him. And so here we find that Peter is speaking after the ascension of Christ, and he is speaking to a group of people, those who come out of the world of these Gentile nations, who join themselves with those of the Jewish faith there in Rome. And he was realizing that dream. And he was telling them they're a peculiar people. And so it is with us today, those of you that have made a commitment to Christ in these last days and have been baptized in the body of Christ. You are those people that Peter was speaking of, a peculiar people, a people that God is using and marshaling in these last days to spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Psalms, and let's look at the 50th verse here. Verses 1 through 5. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, that word sacrifice there is actually the offering. That word represents the offering within that sacrifice. If you go down in verse 8, they use it again. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices. That's those who are offering, doing the offering. But here, he is saying that he has made a covenant with me by sacrifice, that we become that sacrifice, like we read in the New Testament, excuse me, concerning becoming a sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. And that's the requirement God has for this army that he is calling. That really, it is a sacrifice to pull away from the world, to separate ourselves, to be focused on those things that God would have us to do in this last dispensation of time. Let's go in the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi. And let's look at in the third chapter there. Verses 226 and 227. Many times when we think about an army, we think about our own army. It's a very powerful army. One of the greatest in the world. It has every conceivable piece of war-making material and the power that comes with the United States. We think of this huge army, and yet the call to ranks with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we look within, it's pretty small. And we wonder how big it's going to get. And let's go and read what it says in verse 226 and 227. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and the abomination of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth. And so this call to the ranks is going to go out, but there's only going to be a few that's going to seek the truth and to become a part of that army of God in the last days, to stand as a testimony to the world of the truth of God. Their numbers were few. That reminded me of a couple of statements that were made in the Book of Mormon that I'd like to go and visit as well. In the fifth chapter of the first book of Nephi, this was when, if you remember the story, where they were traveling in the wilderness, the family, Lehi and his family, and the Lord provided a compass that they call a Lehoni. And here in the 34th and the 36th verse, it makes a very simple statement. This is on page 50. Verse 34, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the porners which were in the ball, that they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. And there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by small means, the Lord can bring about great things. And really, that boils it all down as to the ways of God. By small means, He does these things. And we ask ourselves, well, why doesn't he do it in a way that we're all used to? You know, we think about like commercials, or when we try to present something, we want this big band and we want all this stuff and try to present this thing as big and as bold or whatever. Wouldn't that make a difference? And the Lord speaks to that. That He's looking for faith, the trial of your faith. He wants to know and understand that when He is able to deliver the truth to you, that you would exercise your faith to consider that truth and to weigh it in the balance and to make the choice. Not with fanfare, or some spectacular thing, but weighing the truth for what it is. There's another example, and it really goes to the heart of it. We can find it in the Book of Alma in the 17th chapter. Here in the 17th chapter is just a couple of scriptures I want to read. It's on page 437. Here we find Helaman. It's Alma talking to Helaman, his son, concerning the plates and the protecting of the plates. I'd like to read verse 33 and then 36. Here in 33 it says, and behold, it has been prophesied by our fathers that they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord until they should go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they shall know of the mysteries contained therein. And then verse 36 on the opposite page, and the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. And how beautiful that is. That as in the song verse, that he was marshaling his army that he might present the truth, or called to the ranks of Christ that we might present the truth, and the truth was preserved by very small means, that it might come forth in these last days. And so, and that's a stumbling block for many people. When you talk to somebody about the Church of Christ, and they say, "Whoa, well, how many people do you have?" You know, a few thousand people scattered over around the world. And immediately they think on the world's terms, not on the Lord's terms. And they set aside the truth. So God has marshaled us in the ranks. It's going to be by small means. But there's going to be something that he's going to require from us. The sacrifice that God is looking for us today, from us today. Let's go to, again, the book of Psalm. And let's go to the 51st chapter. There's about three scripture verses I'd like to read, starting with verse 15, and I'll read through 17. This is what the Lord is looking for those who would join his ranks. Here in the 51st chapter of Psalm, verse 15, it says, "O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Now you must realize that when King David penned this, this was at a time when the Mosaic Law was in force. And all the requirements of these sacrifices were to be made. But David got the real picture from all that. He was able to see what God was trying to accomplish with the house of Israel. That's why he said he was the apple of his eye. Because David understood what God responded to. And that was a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God would not despise that individual, and he would work with them. So that's the sacrifice that God is looking for us to give in this last days. Let's go to 3 Nephi in the 4th chapter. And I've got a couple of verses of scripture to back that up as well. 3 Nephi in the 4th chapter. And I'd like to read verse 49 and 50. You can find that on page 268. Here in verse 49 it says, "And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not." And so we find no different than the day of the law of Moses to the day that we live. That same sacrifice is looked for by that marshal, our commander, Jesus Christ. So what's our mission? We talked about those who would join the ranks. What's the mission? Again, I would like to go to Isaiah in the 55th chapter to look at that a little bit closer. Verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's the mission. God has preordained that his word would not come back void. That truth, it will be put to use, and he will receive the fruit of it. And that's the mission of the body of Christ in the last days. Those who join the ranks of the body of Christ. To be a witness of the truth, to be called of God, to preach the truth, to spread the truth. That it would not come back to God void. It's not going to be tolerated. He's made that statement, it will happen. And he will use whoever it will be to make that happen. In Matthew, in the 28th chapter, goes along with what it says there. It's the final departing words to the body of believers, verse 18 through 20. In the 28th chapter of Matthew, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Think about it. Christ has received everything the Father has. All that power and authority he's given to his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is there for the body of believers. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." What a beautiful promise that is. But that's part of our mission. That outlines our mission in these last days. In the Book of Mormon, in the 4th chapter, on page 712 will be verse 85 through 88. It says, "For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples who should tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples in the hearing of the multitude, Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth." And that ties that all together, of spreading the truth, that his word would not come back void to him. The mission that is before us. Okay, we've joined the ranks. We know our mission. What's God's promises concerning the protection of his army? Let's look at a couple of things here. in 1 Nephi in the third chapter. We'll go to verse 230. It speaks to the day that's to our day. We are looking for verse 230. This is on page 40. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory. And that's the promise that comes from our Father. Remember, Jesus said all power was given to him, and now he is in given that power through the Holy Ghost to the body of Christ. And it is at our disposal according to our faith and our diligence, like what I read earlier, what the Lahoni would do for you, the same would be the power of the Spirit of God with the body of Christ. And in all things, in everything we do in our life, it is there for us. It's for us to use in our to protect us and to care for us in this work. Isaiah in the 54th chapter. Here in the 54th chapter, verses 14 and 17 through 17. Says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now, why would he say that? If you're standing in the truth, and you're standing in the truth in faith, knowing the power that God has given you through the power and the peace that comes with the Holy Ghost, then would you feel oppressed? Only if we allow our humanness to enter. But if we live in the Spirit, the only oppression we would feel is that those that we're trying to give the truth to, it would be more sorrow because their ears were closed and they weren't accepting it. From terror, because the only thing they could do to you is to kill this mortal body. That's it. Now, to the world, that would mean a lot. But those who are in the ranks of the body of Christ, it is only just an extension of life because we know where we're going. We return to the God who gave us life that we might rest in peace, to come forth during the millennial reign, to be with the saints. So the truth puts away those things and casts them from us. But it'll only do that as we exercise our faith in the truth. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to say, is it? Depending on what we're confronted with. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have recreated the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So just file that away in your mind. There is no weapon that man can make that will prosper against those things that God is endeavoring to do in these last days. Let's go to 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter. And let's go to page 75, which is verses 34 through 38. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. And that truly is coming. And actually, we can probably see it more than any other generation before us because of the weapons that are in the hands of evil. We can see that. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it be so that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. That sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah to me, or at least a good example of that. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke must come. It's going to be a pretty violent war. But the scripture says the war that we are to wage is that spiritual war. God will take care of those physical things, that physical war. And that's the promise of the protection to his army. A final message from the marshal or the commander. These next few verses of scripture is the message in which the commander would give to his army. Let's go in the book of Ephesians. Here in the 6th chapter. If you can visualize the commander standing there in front of his troops, he wants to impart unto him before he dismisses them to the work that they are to do. This would be one of the things that he would speak to them on. Here in the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities is a territory ruled by a prince. Now, what would that mean to you? What does the scripture say? The prince of this world. Who is that? Satan. So you look at it in those terms. We war against principalities, the prince of this world. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the onus. That is the thing that we're going to operate under. And so, as Christ would stand, he would warn us to put on the whole armor that he has provided for us as an army. And don't leave nothing out. Don't leave nothing out. He made it to protect you. We are to use it. Let's go to Luke in the 12th chapter. Verses 47 through 48. Here it says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And the reason why I put that in there was that very last statement. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much is required. We have been given much. The body of Christ has. There's very few people in the world that has what you have. That has come from God. You have the canon in Scripture that was intended in the last days to be the witness to the world, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And you've been given the power and authority of God through the Spirit as an abiding comforter. And it's been given to you. So much is required. In 1 Nephi in the third chapter, much has been given here. It substantiates what I said. Here on page 37. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. That is what's been given to us. Much has been given. And much is going to be required. Let's go to the Philippians, the second chapter, to see what is going to be required. Well, where are we here? Philippians, the second chapter, 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Speaking of that testimony that was had and is had in the truth. In the Book of Mormon, I have two more scripture verses. Let's go to Mosiah. The second chapter. And verses 12 through 17. This is on page 220. Remember, this is, think of it as in terms of the commander speaking to us in his parting words. Starting with the 12th verse. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. Now in the world, there would be plenty of people that said there's all kinds of ways to get to God. But what is the commander saying? There's only one condition. In one way, and that's his way. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that he was all that he has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if ye believe all these things, see that ye do them. One more. Alma in the 12th chapter. You're on page, let's get over this, a long chapter. Verses 1 through 3. Yeah, that's on page 362. I put this in there as the last one is something that I've always enjoyed. And I can, and I hope those who, I know those who have been in the gospel for a long time enjoy this verse of scripture. But those of you that are new within the body of Christ, at some point in time, I pray that you will enjoy it as well. Verse 1 through 3. And now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward away to the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. I pray that as we've enlisted in the army of God, that we understand our mission, we understand the power and authority that God has given us, and our responsibility in that effort. May God bless you.